Downloading. 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are
Tim Schwartz
and me, Sean Preece.
Hello and welcome to Tech Talk. This is the show where we are dedicated to the exploration of an enabled life with blindness. Wait, that doesn't quite sound right, but I'm not even sure what that means, but it works, I guess. Anyways, your ears are not deceiving you. I am not Stephen Scott. He is away, allegedly on holiday, but more about that here in just a bit. I am your host this week, Tim Schwartz, and as ever, I am joined by Sean Preece. Sean, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thank you, Tim. It feels so nice to have a proper professional in charge for a change. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for that, Sean. We'll let the listeners determine that over the course of the hour, whether this is professional or not, Sean. This week, we've got so many things to talk about. Of course, Stephen's allegedly gone, and we've got just so many things that we need to cram into 1 hour. It's just unbelievable. Coming up later, our very own Claire Potter is going to be talking with the folks at Vitech Solutions. They're an organization who deals in products for the blind and visually impaired. And later, we'll have a bit of a sneak peek of the upcoming RNIB in your pocket. We'll also have a bit of a conference talk discussion this week. Apple has recently announced two new events, one coming up later this month in March, and of course, their annual WWDC event coming up later this year. And as always, we'll cover all the week's tech news, all this and more on this week's episode of Tech Talk. Before we dive into our first story this week, as I mentioned just a moment ago, Stephen Scott is not joining us, and I thought it'd be fun to have a little bit of a tease with Stephen this week, Sean. Since he isn't here, why not? We can tease him, right?
Well, we tease him when he is here, so I don't think it matters too much.
This is true. Yeah, it doesn't really matter whether he's here or not. We still do tease him. So we thought it'd be fun to throw it out to all of you, the dear listeners, as Stephen says. Now, he says that he's on holiday. We're not quite sure. You know, with Stephen, you just never know because, you know, after all, he could be out binge buying new technology. He could be just, you know, sitting in a pub somewhere in Glasgow, just, you know, just relaxing and enjoying his time away from us. He could be, you know, you never know. He could be applying for a job at the White House. You know, they definitely have plenty of positions open. So you just never know with Stephen. So what do you think, Sean? What do you think? Is he really on holiday or not?
Well, I hate to put it to you, Tim, but he's not actually on holiday, but he's on holiday from us. He's just away from the show for a week, so I think he's just had enough of us.
Yeah, that's probably it. He just couldn't stand us anymore and just had to get away. But I thought it'd be fun, just whether we know what he's doing or not, if the listeners could. We always love receiving any of your feedback that you send in to us by email. Of course, you can send that to techtalk@rnab.org.uk. And I thought it'd be fun this week, in addition to any of your tech questions, comments, suggestions about the show, send us your thoughts, your ideas about what Stephen's really up to. Tell us, just make it up. Just anything. Just tell us what you think that Stephen may really, truly be up to while he's on his holiday away from Sean and I.
Let me stop you there, Tim. Not anything. You know, let's keep it in the realms of decency. Thank you very much.
Well, this is true. Let's make this PG. Yeah, yes. Let's make sure that this is rated correctly for radio. Please keep that in mind. So again, send those ideas into us, techtalk@rnab.org.uk. So first up this week, Sean, I thought we would talk about a really interesting story, especially in the light of the passing of Stephen Hawking this past week. The Museum of Science and Industry in Manchester has a really great exhibit that is actually accessible and tactile for the blind. There's a lot of physics involved, a lot of science, of course, involved, and they have really worked hard, especially over the last year or so, to make this exhibit accessible, working with different blind organizations, working with children in schools to make sure that this is something that can be accessible by having pieces that are larger, using different apparatuses to represent different things, so that children can really get hands-on with physics and science and technology and learn despite the fact that they may have no vision. The exhibit that they have currently is called the Tactile Collider. Now, that involves a lot of different things, but they have different representations of atoms and the nucleus of an atom and how magnets work, all kinds of different things. And I just thought this was a really fascinating story. Like I said, Sean, especially after the passing of Stephen Hawking, this is a really neat thing that they're doing there in Manchester.
Yeah, exactly. In my own backyard, the Museum of Science and Industry, the Tactile Collider exhibit is actually aimed at young visually impaired and low vision people. As you said, it's a completely tactile experience and, which I thought was really interesting, there's actual scientists there talking you through each stage or each exhibit that's there as well. Really interesting stuff. They do... Well, hang on. Let me put my cards on the table, Tim. I hate museums. I don't know what it is. It's like, I think it's because of the era I was born in. Museums were always everything behind glass, you know, signs underneath, dusty, just incredibly boring places. But now lately, I mean, I used to take my kids when they were younger to the Science Museum, and it was all getting involved, all hands-on. I remember taking them to the one on electricity, and, you know, you've got all those where you put your hands on and your hair goes up in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot more fun, a lot more exciting now. But this is an interesting story because it does say that this comes off the back of an exhibit they had before just called The Collider. And actually a visually impaired woman went up and said, how can I get more information about this? How can I get more involved? Again, it was exhibits behind glass. And they actually went round and made it tactile for her. You know, they got some of the exhibits out and everything. So it just goes to show that, you know, it took a visually impaired person going forward and saying, I'm interested in this, but it's not accessible to me. I can't get the full benefit of it. And once she did that, the museum staff thought, hang on, there's something here that needs to be done. And that resulted in this exhibit, this exhibition, I should say. Yeah, quantum particles, physics, everything like that. Really interesting stuff, really hard to understand anyway. But the fact that you could get involved with it, it sounds fantastic. And that's coming from me, not a fan of museums, as I said.
And as techie and geeky as we are, we're not about to even try to explain how this exhibit
no.
works or what the scientists would be explaining. But yeah, I still think that this is just so fantastic. And what's really nice, Sean, is that you see more and more of this, not just within the UK, but all around the world. You hear more and more about museums getting on board with making things accessible or tactile or more hands-on even. A lot of museums have audio devices where you can walk around the museum and it will trigger an explanation of what maybe you're looking at, or they will have special tours for the blind. A couple of months ago, I actually did a tour here where I live at the local art museum that allowed me to go through and touch a lot of these statues and sculptures and a lot of different things that you ordinarily wouldn't be allowed to interact with and have a tactile experience with. And they had a guide that was trained to explain these different exhibits for the blind. And it was a really great experience. I had never been able to do that before. And so I think we have come a long way with museums getting on board with this, not just, like I said, with the tactile experience, but audio experiences, special tours. And that leads me to a few other things that we know, of course, that we've talked about here on the show. You know, you could go into a museum, quite honestly, and probably use something like Be My Eyes. You could use Aira, of course. You could use potentially this new system coming from Bose, the Bose wearable that I know you guys talked about a little bit last week. These types of devices, whether they're mainstream or made for the blind, really could be helpful when going to a museum and trying to get feedback.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, being this is Tech Talk. So the tech angle is that, as you said, there's different things out there. A lot of these museums now have headsets, you know, like a walking guide headset that you can wear. I've noticed that there are museums that have apps in the app store as well for certain exhibits. So, you know, it will tell you where to go and what to see. Maybe not specifically designed for the visually impaired, but gives you extra audio information. So there is, I don't know, museums are just becoming more accessible, whether it be tactile or whether it be through the use of technology. As long as museums embrace the fact that, you know, they've got to make these exhibits more exciting, more involving, that's what it comes down to. And the more people they can get involved, the more interest they'll gain from it.
And I think that this would not only help to engage blind people or blind children specifically, but all people. I think the more interactive, more engaging and fun you can make exhibits like this, the more that everybody learns, the more that everybody has a good time with it. And because of that, then maybe you retain that information more and you're educated more. So I don't think there's anything wrong with any of that. I'm actually hoping, picking up on that Bose conversation you guys had last week, if Bose continues to make partnerships with different apps or services or museums like this, this could be something that you see them using their new AR wearable for. Also picking up on Aira that we mentioned just a moment ago, kind of on a side note, Aira just announced, Sean, that they've got a brand new set of glasses that they are going to be bringing out in the next couple months. They call it the Horizon. Apparently, instead of having to plug in multiple things and charge them, you have one device. And in addition to having better battery and all these kind of things that you'd expect out of new glasses, in addition to contacting your Aira agent, they're going to have a built-in system called Chloe that will be able to read printed text, be able to read business cards, actually also be able to read pharmaceutical labels. So that, I think, is a big announcement coming out of Aira, because that could be used at museums or parks or anywhere, honestly, reading, even just reading your mail. If you don't want to call an agent and use up any of your minutes, you just queue up this new service called Chloe and it will read it to you.
Another virtual assistant. You can't beat it. So for anyone that doesn't know, Aira is a wearable pair of glasses. They've got a video camera in them, and it allows you to connect to a sighted assistant via your phone. They can see what you're seeing, and they can give you assistance with whatever that may be. Currently only available in the US, though there are plans to take it elsewhere, so we are looking forward for this one, definitely. I so want to try this out. But yeah, so the next step, the next generation of Aira, as you said, Tim, they've made improvements to the hardware. Currently, you need the glasses, you need a Wi-Fi hotspot, and then you need your phone. It's more things to carry around, it's more things to charge. So they're slimming those things down, putting them just in the pair of glasses, and the fact that they're adding AI, so you don't need to actually use your minutes to call or connect to the Aira agent, you know, the assistant. You can do some things on the glasses using just AI, reading things like you said. Sounds really exciting to me. It just shows how far we're going with this. I can't wait. I want to get my hands on these. You've got them already.
I do have them already, and they are so nice. They're just as good as you think they would be. And hopefully it's just a matter of time that it does cross the pond and come into the UK. I know they are testing it over there. They're trying to hire agents and get the service available. So it's just a matter of time that it will come to the UK. So anyway, I just thought that was a great story to start off with the Museum of Science and History, and just kind of talking around how we can make our museum experience or other, you know, just landmark or historical, you know, site experience just more inclusive and more tactile and a better experience for all of us.
Absolutely. And I got to say as well, just as a side note, I was at Windermere last year, the visually impaired hotel there, and went on one of the day trips to some National Trust site. I know I'm so playboy jet setter. Going through the place there, all the information and leaflets, there wasn't actually any Braille leaflets there or anything. So we did mention this to the guide, and they said, "Yep, if anyone requests them, we will make them available." So it just shows the importance, relating it back to the Manchester Science Museum, where that lady did come forward and say, "I want to get involved in this. How can you make this accessible to me?" It just shows the importance of, don't be afraid to say, you know, I want to be able to be part of this as well. You know, just speak up and you'll be surprised on the response sometime.
That's absolutely right, Sean. You never, ever know until you ask. Don't ever be afraid to ask for assistance or ask if something can be made more accessible, because you just never know. And like in this case, the Museum of Science and Industry went above and beyond, in my opinion, and made sure that this exhibit was very tactile and very inclusive for the blind. Now, Sean, when it comes to accessible technology solutions, help can be hard to find. And that's why ViTech Solutions was set up. It's a family-run business, and our very own Claire Potter sat down with them to find out more about the business and what they offer.
Okay, so I'm here today in Lincolnshire, and I am here to visit ViTech Solutions. This is the family-run business, which hopes to help people with technology in any way that they can. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Okay, so let's start off by giving people a bit of an introduction as to who you are. So if we can just go around, and if you just tell us your name and what you do for the business.
Hi, my name is Tyra. I'm Mo and Omar's mum. My background has always been in management. So I see to the day-to-day running of the business making sure everything runs smoothly and that we provide a very high standard of customer service where customer satisfaction always comes first.
Hello, my name is Omar Iqbal. I am the business owner. I'm currently in my final year at university studying computer science, but hopefully after graduation, I'm going to be focusing more on developing software and products specifically for the blind and visually impaired to empower them with their technology and technological issues, really.
My name is Mo, and I've been totally blind since birth. My background is in hardware and electronics, and I help with training, technical support, and sales for the business.
Can you give us a bit of a brief overview as to the services that you provide for customers?
So at the moment, we're quite a new business that helps blind and visually impaired people with their technology through products and services that we offer. So we offer training for people who need to learn how to use their laptops or iPhones, etc. But we also provide products specifically for visually impaired people. So people can ring us up and ask us for that technical support, and we'd be able to help them, you know, with help and advice over the phone or in person if needs be.
That's right, and we also provide things like, you know, tablets, computers, laptops, all at very, you know, reasonable prices. And we try and make sure technology is affordable for everybody.
We're also authorised by Sight and Sound and RNIB to resell their products. So when we supply products from either supplier, we can offer the same level of excellent technical support.
One of the things you mentioned there was products. So can you please tell me a little bit about what products you provide?
Okay, so our primary focus is selling computers, laptops and tablets for the blind, fully configured with accessibility and all the software that you need pre-installed. So when you take it out of the box, you're not wasting time, you know, installing software and configuring everything. We go through all that before the computer or any device that we sell is dispatched, whether it's an iPhone or an Android phone. And we also sell a program called VTSLP, which is stands for VTS Label Printer. And it's a program that allows you to send items in the post and print labels off in an accessible format so that you can send the package without any sighted help required as part of the Articles for the Blind service. Yes, we've designed that ourselves. Omar designed it.
Yep. So essentially, that's a software product that I've made for Windows that can be used with screen readers like JAWS or NVDA. And it basically allows a blind person to independently print off labels that they can stick onto parcels. And you can print off Articles for the Blind labels or just normal labels just to put on a parcel and send, you know, via Royal Mail, etc. So, yeah, it's something that blind people can use just to print labels off, essentially.
Okay, so one of the things you mentioned there was products. Are you in the process of designing any other products apart from the VTS label printer, or have you designed anything else?
Yeah, so we're currently in the process of designing two products. The first thing that I'm personally working on first is the accessible smartphone solution that I'm working on in collaboration with Lincoln University. And essentially what we're trying to do is create a smartphone or a simple smartphone solution that blind and visually impaired people can use without having a very complicated interface using things like TalkBack or VoiceOver on iPhone or Android devices respectively. So essentially what I want to try and do is develop a phone that has a simple button layout that people can use with a simple software interface that speaks, you know, very simply.
And the reason behind that was because we actually started offering a service where we were being asked by people to fix their old Nokia phones, because the Nokia phones with talking software have been very, very popular with visually impaired people. And there is still a huge market for people who just want a phone to make calls and send text. You know, you can't send a text message when you're walking with an iPhone, for example.
Of course.
Whereas with a Nokia, you can actually just tap at the buttons in your pocket, and then nobody even needs to see the phone. You know, you can have a pair of headphones on.
Absolutely.
So when people started requesting Nokia C5, for example, we still sell Nokia C5s with talks on them. But when people started requesting them, we actually thought to ourselves, well, there's bound to be a time when the Nokia phones run out and they're no longer available, because Nokia don't make those particular phones anymore.
No, no.
So we have to come up with a solution, which, again, is the key thing for us is affordable. There are other products on the market. That, yep. You know, they are, you know, classed by some as quite expensive, so £400 or £500. Our goal essentially is to develop a low-cost phone that still gives you quality and also provides access to, you know, the core functions, like things like phone, messaging, email, calendar, notes, that isn't too complicated. So it just does what it's asked to do instead of, you know, having notifications every 2 minutes from things that you don't want to be notified about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of us would appreciate that.
Yeah, so,
are you in the process of designing anything else at all?
Yeah, so at the moment, we're currently prioritising the smartphone solution. We're coming to the quite early phases of getting a prototype made now for the smartphone. But in the future, we're going to start looking at making an accessible TV box, similar to the TV on Xbox that we are currently selling. But we want to try and create a solution that's similar, or if not better in some senses.
Okay.
Because TV on X, as some listeners may or may not know, went into administration a few years ago, and
yep.
they've stopped making that accessible TV box that allows blind and visually impaired people to watch Freeview with a talking or voiced interface. So as a result of that, it's kind of left blind and visually impaired people without a solution. So what I wanted to do was, in the very near future, work with a team of people, maybe at the University of Lincoln, to get software and hardware developed that people can just plug into the back of their television, much like a Skybox or TV on Xbox, and that they can watch Freeview or maybe even catch up television on.
I think it's also important to mention that we want to try and program all our products in-house, and it might take slightly longer to release products like the set-top box and the mobile phone, but we actually want to try and engage as much as possible with the visually impaired community. So when we've got prototypes over the coming months of those products, we actually want to take them around the UK to various societies or organizations or individuals and just ask people what their opinions are. And yes, it'll take longer to release, but that will enable us to make a product that people have had part in designing, that people, you know, that includes the features that people want as opposed to what we think they want.
I'd like to go into detail about the support and training that you offer to people. Tell me a little bit about that and how that works.
Okay, so we can train anybody, no matter what their, you know, visual impairment is. They're totally blind, partially sighted. So, for example, I would work with people who are, you know, totally blind.
Okay.
And Omar, we complement each other because Omar helps with people that are partially sighted and blind.
Okay.
So we can provide training on Windows, mm-hmm. Android, the Mac operating system, Chrome OS, and also on how to use different devices, even devices that we don't sell. In the past, we've offered services to remotely take control, with your permission, of course, of your computer or your mobile phone, and we can actually help you set it up, because a lot of people don't know how to configure optimal settings. You know, it only
sure.
takes a matter of minutes to do, but it's just a question of somebody with the knowledge to say, right, these are the menus that you need turning off or turning on.
Of course.
Yeah, and the it might be worth mentioning as well that if you are someone who needs help regularly, or, you know, you need that technical support just every now and then, we do offer a subscription service to allow people just to ring us up, and, you know, they've got that hourly support there should they need it. So we can pop in and answer the odd question or click the odd thing on the screen for people. So if that's something that listeners are interested in, then they can certainly contact us about that for more information about that.
How are you different to other organisations who might offer a similar thing? Why should people come to Vitech Solutions?
A lot of the customers that have come to us have said, gosh, we feel relieved. Thank goodness somebody is actually listening to us. They are sound caring. They are actually do what they say they're actually going to do, and things like that. So it's refreshing to know that people appreciate that, because we are a very caring company. And I've always brought my sons up to think that, you know, helping somebody is more important than making money. And we might not be able to make as much money as we would like, but that isn't our focus. You know, our focus is making the world a better place, making a difference to people's lives. And, you know, and it's meant a lot. A few customers have actually said that it's just changed their lives contacting us. And it's been like a lifeline for them, where they've been depressed, had nobody to turn to. They think, they feel that nobody cares. And it's really touching that people have complimented in that respect. So that's one of the things that we strive to achieve.
Each person's an individual, and I think it's also important to mention that we actually work at the person's level, you know. So technology or any aspect of life, it's not a one-fits-all solution. We don't say you must get an iPhone because you're blind. You know, it's not that. Each person is an individual. Each person's different. And they all have different needs. So we actually take the time to sit down with somebody. It doesn't matter whether it takes half an hour, whatever time it takes. You know, even if people don't choose to go with the product recommendations that we, you know, have provided, we still take that time to actually go through all your options, have a proper discussion.
Tell me about how can people find out about yourselves? And maybe if they want to get in touch to ask you any questions and find out a bit more about yourselves, how can people do that?
The best way to contact us is, first of all, via phone.
Okay.
So our telephone number is 0343 289 7501. That's a local call. That's 0343 289 7501. People can also visit our website, www.vits.org.uk. That's www.v for Victor, I for India, T for Tango, S for Sierra.org.uk. And from the website, you can also visit us on Facebook and Twitter. You can search for the term We Are V-I-T-S, W-E-A-R-E-V-I-T-S, and that will bring up our Twitter and Facebook pages.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot of thank yous there, and I'm going to join in. Thank you, Claire. So good to hear you back on Tech Talk again. Vitech Solutions there. Always good to have a resource for visually impaired products and services, so thanks to them. Now, Tim, it's conference time. I was so excited this week. It was incredible. Two announcements from Apple confirming their events. We have the WWDC, the Worldwide Developer Conference. That's been confirmed for, is it June the 4th?
That sounds about right, yep.
Yep, and also a surprise event. They snuck it in there, March 27th. Now, this one's going to be more of an educational event, we think, anyway, so far. So, two Apple events coming up. Let's take the nearest one, March 27th. What do you think we're going to see on this one then, Tim?
Well, Sean, they are saying that this is a road trip type of event because they are leaving Cupertino and going to Chicago, Illinois, in the States. And we think this is going to be an educational event because, of course, it is going to take place at a school. And they're looking to focus on, I think, devices that really that they try to sell to students. Maybe a new iPad, maybe a new SE iPhone. Yeah, I know that new SE is going to be something that Steven's going to be looking at quite a bit if they do bring that out. They're also looking to bring out a successor to the Apple Pencil and also the possibility of another MacBook Air. So a lot of these lower cost entry-level devices that they would usually market to students. And I think they're really going to try to push that educational angle at this upcoming event.
Yeah, exactly. It does seem that way. Now then, an Apple Pencil 2. I haven't used one myself, but yeah, I'm not entirely sure how interesting that one is to us anyway, especially to us as visually impaired people. But the main things here to look out for, and look, again, these are all rumours. We have no idea if this is going to show up or not, but an iPhone SE 2, that would be amazing. Small form factor, updated innards, it could be really nice. I'd be definitely excited if that comes out. But one thing I think we probably will see, I think the rumours are probably right about, is a new MacBook. I mean, maybe it's called an Air, maybe it's not. But, you know, a small form factor laptop under the £1,000 mark would also be nice from Apple with their prices recently. But as you said, we think this is aimed at the educational market. So the prices have got to be, you know, at the right spot, especially for Apple. So it's definitely going to be one to watch anyway. There could be some interesting things there. We will, of course, let you know what happens with that.
Yeah, so definitely stay tuned to Tech Talk coming up that following week because we will make sure to break everything down coming out of that new event in Chicago from Apple. Now, as you mentioned a moment ago, Sean, they also announced WWDC for later this year. This is typically a developers conference, so a lot of information about iOS and OS and Apple TV OS and all that kind of thing. But we sometimes see other things come out of this event.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, they always say the WWDC is a software event, except when it isn't, because they have sprung hardware out there before, the iPad Pros and things like that. So who knows? But this is going to be an interesting one. It always is. Well, depends how geeky you are. But we're going to learn more about iOS 12. For me, that's going to be the interesting thing, especially after their recent announcement that they're not going to concentrate on features so much, more the stability of iOS, which was interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I should be going, yes, absolutely, they should make it more stable and bug-free. But I'm actually going, no, I want more features. I like the bells and whistles. I want them. So, yeah, lots of talk on iOS 12. And, of course, the new operating systems all across the platforms, watchOS, tvOS, macOS. So definitely going to be interesting things there. Now, as for are there going to be new hardware? Well, maybe. There are some rumors out there, Tim.
Okay, Sean, now I see how it is. I step into the hosting seat and you're already trying to throw me back under the bus after I threw it to you on purpose to talk about the hardware possible announcements. I was going to talk about the possibility of an updated Siri and other software, but no, you've got to throw it back at me to talk about the hardware. I see how it is, Sean.
I know, but I was subtle about it, wasn't I? I was good. You must admit.
Yeah. So
okay,
subtle.
No, I'll take it. Hardware, we could expect. I mean, there's a lot of talk about the HomePod Mini. Now, I'm not sure about this one. The HomePod hasn't been out long, but they're already saying that there could be a HomePod Mini or a cheaper HomePod. Maybe. We'll have to wait and see. The iPad, whatever they're going to call it next, the iPad Pro 3, the iPad 3, I don't know. But talk about the new iPad. Obviously, people are expecting the new design, the iPhone X design, so maybe no home button, much smaller bezels. I doubt if it will have an OLED screen, but, you know, I mean, no matter what the hardware is going to be, it's going to be an interesting event to watch. And I've got to say, if anyone calls it WWDC, I don't know where this new phrase has come from, WWDC, but I will not have it. It's WWDC.
And that's the world according to Sean. So, okay, WWDC, no dub, no dub. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to WWDC as we always are. Not always about software. Sometimes we get news about hardware because, of course, this is, you know, the just one more thing potential of the conference and the keynote address. The one thing I did want to add there, like I mentioned a moment ago, is there is a rumor that we are finally going to get a more robust Siri. And I think that just makes sense. Like you said, Sean, they may have a HomePod Mini, which I wouldn't be quite surprised if they did that. And really, if they are going to continue to invest in HomePod, whether it's a larger HomePod or a smaller one, they really do need to tweak Siri and make it much more robust, much more responsive. And so that is a big rumor that's coming out that WWDC will talk more about what they're going to do with Siri going forward. So yes, yeah, so big announcements coming from Apple for this education event, for WWDC coming up later this year. And while we're talking about conferences, Sean, this week actually here in the United States in San Diego is the 33rd annual CSUN event, Accessible Technology Exhibition. And we usually see a lot of things come out of CSUN related to the blind and visually impaired community.
We do. Now, this is the big one in the VI calendar. This is the biggie. I mean, it's huge. It is the main event. Now, as to what's being shown there, I don't know. Has there been many surprises from CSUN in previous CSUNs? I'm not too sure. It's a lot of, you know, evolution of the hardware and the software that we already know. I'm hoping there's going to be some, I don't know, some surprises, something we haven't seen coming, if you forgive the pun in this sense. But I'm hoping there's going to be some really exciting stuff. Look, it's a great event. There's lots of speakers on there, lots of talks and conferences. So it's definitely worth keeping an ear on. But I don't know. Do you know of many exhibits that, you know, who's showing there? I know IBM are going to be there. Microsoft are going to be there. It's going to be interesting to see what they say. But I'm not sure about any of the other companies.
Yeah, all your usual suspects are going to be at CSUN. Of course, you know, the IBMs, the Microsofts, like you say, Google, Humanware, any company that has anything to do with an accessible technology device, whether they're mainstream or a company that just is specific to accessible technology, they are at CSUN. Like you said, this is the big event. Of course, you have your other national conferences with ACB and NFB here in the States. And there's always a lot of news that comes out of those conferences, but CSUN really is the big one. In recent years, some of these manufacturers have actually popped up at CES in January and have announced some of these things at CES as mainstream accessibility devices. And yeah. So we sometimes get a sneak peek at what's at CSUN by watching CES, but that doesn't always mean that we're going to not have a surprise at CSUN. So I'm really looking forward to what CSUN is going to offer this year. As you said, I'm hoping for a big shocker, a big surprise, something new with technology. You know, with Microsoft and IBM and Google and all these other big companies there. And again, like I said, even the companies that deal in specific accessible tech, there's always something great coming out of CSUN. So again, that'll be something that we will cover more in depth after it's happened. So most likely next week, we will try to break that down and talk about the big news coming out of CSUN. Moving right along, Sean, we have a bit of a sneak peek at the newest version of RNIB in Your Pocket.
That's right. RNIB are about to launch a brand new version of its popular In Your Pocket device. With it, you're able to listen to and enjoy talking books, newspapers, magazines, and podcasts, and all by just using your voice on a smartphone-style device. Red Cell is the presenter of RNIB Connect Radio's book show, Read On. He sat down with the man behind the technology that makes In Your Pocket work, Nick Howden from Real Thing.
So before we get started, could you hand me the device and I'll describe it for the listeners?
There you go.
Okay, so it feels like an ordinary smartphone. It's about 15 centimetres tall by about 6 or 7 centimetres wide and about as thick as your average bar of chocolate. It's got three buttons along the bottom, all of which feel quite chunky and tactile. And I'm guessing I press one of those to activate it, Nick.
That's exactly right. You can give it a go.
Hello.
Hello to you too. I love hearing your voice.
I think I could get to like this, Nick. So, tell me a little bit more about the device and who it's aimed at and what its key features are.
Sure. So this was developed really to be as easy to use as possible. So totally accessible. It can be driven without any vision at all. It's totally speech driven and audio feedback. And it provides access to the whole of the RNIB talking book catalogue. So all of the books in the library, as well as all of the newsagent newspapers and magazines. And a range of other media such as all of the BBC podcasts and podcasts from around the world, and has a number of other features such as telling you the weather, giving you location. And in March, we will actually be releasing a new version that allows you also to make phone calls.
Brilliant. Okay. So it is a very smart smartphone devised with people with complete sight loss, and partial sight loss, in mind.
Exactly. Yep. So it's designed to be used without any vision, but obviously can be used by people with low vision also. And the key is really around the simplicity of use and the ease of access. So there's no computers involved. You don't need to download and copy files across or do anything. You just pick it up wherever you are and you read the newspaper or you read the book and off you go.
Great. Well, if you can help me get started then. So I've picked it up. It's got three buttons along the bottom. Do I press the middle one?
So yeah, all three of those buttons are what we call the talk button. They're, as you described, fairly chunky. You just click any one of those. You wait for the tone and then you ask for what you want. So if you wanted to read a newspaper, you could just say, read me The Guardian.
Okay. Well, I'm doing some homework at the moment on a book, so I will ask for that, the talking book version of that. Do I need to say talking book or does it just go automatically to the library?
If you want a book, you can say find books and then you can say find books titled A Christmas Carol or find books by Charles Dickens or find books about sailing. You can also combine all of those things such as find books by Charles Dickens titled A Christmas Carol or something like that. But find books is really one of the key words if you're after browsing the book catalogue.
Okay, let's give it a go. Find books by Patrick Gale.
RNIB Library. Books by Patrick Gale. Last five books. 1. Little Bits of Baby by Patrick Gale. 2. Notes from an Exhibition by Patrick Gale. 3.
2.
Fine. Notes from an Exhibition by Patrick Gale. Say, yes, at any time to begin reading this book. This is the synopsis.
Yes.
Gifted artist Rachel Kelly is a whirlwind of...
Yes.
Now reading. Notes from an Exhibition, Section 1. 0% into the book. Notes from an Exhibition by Patrick Gale.
So
stop.
There's also a quick pause if you just want to hold down one of those talk buttons until you hear a little chick sound. That's a quick way just to totally pause the device.
Fantastic. Well, that's a lot easier than struggling with overdrive and very little sight and eye-hand coordination. That summed up her book probably 10 minutes more quickly than I would normally have done. So that's brilliant. If I want to skip to chapter 6, because I was listening to it through overdrive and I lost patience, could I just say skip to chapter 6?
Yes, you could just say go to chapter 6. The only issue we have is that we call them sections. You can say chapter, but they may not correspond to the actual chapter number.
Go to section 6.
Great. Moving on. Section 6. 0% into the book. This is a Daisy recording and has two levels of navigation.
So if you pause that, hold it down. What that's done is the sections are numbered from the beginning, and there's actually lots of sections. Often there's the copyright and the intro and the title and all this sort of stuff. That's why I was saying. So chapter 6 may in fact be section 10 or 11 or something like that.
And if I get distracted and miss a paragraph or two, can I rewind by 30 seconds or fast forward by 30 seconds if it gets a bit scary and I don't want to listen to what's going on?
Yes, you can jump backwards or forwards by minutes. So you can say jump backwards 3 minutes or jump forwards 5 minutes. We can't do less than a minute at the moment, but that's something we're looking at.
Well, that's absolutely fine, because one of the problems with some of the MP3 players that we have is that you can only jump backwards or forwards by an entire chapter, which if it's a book by James Joyce can be quite a lot of rereading. Well, that's fantastic. And as you say, it also gives me access to RNIB newsagent. So if I want to listen to a Guardian review of a new book, then I can clearly do that as well. And, all that is rolled into a monthly charge, I believe, for the device.
That's correct. Yep. So basically it's £20 a month, which covers the cost of the device, all of the services, access to all of the services, as well as an O2 mobile service, which gives you 3 gigabytes of downloads. And also now from March, unlimited calls within the UK.
Gosh, that's good. When you say unlimited downloads, one of the problems I've found with the smartphone that I have is that it's got a tiny amount of memory. So actually, it very quickly clogs up if you've downloaded 2 or 3 books to listen to. Does this have a large memory, or is it easy to empty the cache when you want to download something new?
So the way this works is you don't need to worry about the onboard memory at all. It streams all of the content and it caches them locally. And if it starts running out of memory, it'll just start removing older things that you haven't been listening to for a while without you having to worry about it at all. So that you never have to worry about memory or those sorts of things, which is part of that design of simplicity, total simplicity. You don't need to worry about the hardware or storage or memory or any of those things. You just choose the book you want and begin listening.
Brilliant. So we don't actually have to return the book to the library at the end of listening to it.
That's correct. Yep. It just streams it directly from the library and then we'll eventually remove it from the device once it needs memory in future.
Fantastic. And if I'm listening to a book on the London Underground, where obviously there is no internet access, it will have streamed enough in advance to take me on, what, a half hour journey or something without cutting out halfway through.
It streams a certain amount ahead. It's generally about 10 minutes, something like that ahead. So if you have a long journey without any network access, then it may well run off the end. but it, in general, it's pretty good for certainly for going through tunnels and those sorts of things where you rejoin access. We are looking at a feature in future where you can pre-download a whole book in advance when you're, for example, on a Wi-Fi network at home, and that means that it will be available when you are, for example, on the London Underground.
Or on a plane.
Or on a plane, exactly.
So it's clearly a product that is ready to use now, but also you're working hard on the product development for the future. What kind of support is there for users at the moment who have got the product and who have useful suggestions, such as being able to download a book in advance?
So we're very keen to get feedback from users of the product, and there is actually a mechanism that you can do that through the device. You can actually save feedback and then give us some comments, and that goes actually back to the development team. That could be about a problem you're having or a new feature request or anything really, and that gives us valuable feedback from people. And as you say, we are continuously developing the product, so we're adding new features and such as, for example, the phone calls, which will come out in March, and all of those get deployed to all of the existing users. So essentially one day you turn on the device, it says there's an upgrade available, give me a minute while I upgrade myself. It upgrades, and then the new features are immediately available. So there's no need to connect or bring it into a shop or do any of those things. It's all totally managed with a very simple process.
Brilliant. And presumably when you've got the download, it will tell you what the new features that are available are and how to access them.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. There's also a full user guide and help system online. So you can say user guide and it's got a number of articles that you can read through about all of the different features. You can also say help at any time, and it'll tell you where you are and what you're currently doing and what the options are. In order to, for example, continue reading a book or, you know, jumping chapters or those sorts of things.
Does it have text and email facilities on it, or are those things that may come in the future?
Those are things that may come in the future that are requested. We've got a big list of feature requests from our current user base, and we're just prioritising them all and working through them. But you can rely on the fact that new features will be continuously added, so the product will continuously evolve from here.
Well, that sneak peek at what's coming up in the newest version of RNIB in Your Pocket was not enough for you. Stay tuned next week when Stephen returns with very special coverage, the release of the newest version of RNIB in Your Pocket. And if you have any questions or anything you want to know about this newest version, please feel free to email those questions to us again at techtalk@rnib.org.uk. And now it's time for the news.
Oh, no, hang on. I've got this. I've got access to Stephen's jingles. Hang on. I've got the buttons. Bear with me.
Hit it, Sean.
Oh, no, not that one. Not that one. Hang on. This one.
News from the internet.
Just something about that jingle, Sean. I don't know what it is.
I know. It's magical.
That's right, Sean. It does seem to have a bit of magic to it. So anyway, our first story that we wanted to cover this week is actually a bit of mystery or magic of its own, because I can't seem to get it to work, and I don't know that you've been able to either, Sean.
Nope.
And that's the announcement from Google of Google Lens. Now, they apparently have this available on Android phones, and they've incorporated it into the Google Photos app of the iPhone. And for the life of me, Sean, I can't get it to work, and I want it to work so bad. Can you tell us a little bit about how it's supposed to work, if you could?
Yes, Google Lens. Now, they did demo this at the recent Google I.O., and it did look really interesting. So basically what this is the object recognition, you know, the computer vision that we have seen before. But coming from Google, I don't know, they just have a knack of making things exciting. So how this works, you take a photo of something. It specifically mentions landmarks or historic buildings, but, you know, books and objects. You take a picture of it, and Google Lens will give you more information on it. More than just, I don't know, a portrait building, you know, the standard stuff we get at the moment. It will tell you more information relevant to that object, almost like doing a Google search on it. So look, sounds really exciting, but I can't find it. Now, on all the articles I've read on this so far, it does say it's rolling out. So I've installed the Google Photos app on iOS, and no, I just cannot find anything on there that mentions Google Lens. But hopefully, you know, we will get to it eventually. Exciting technology. I really do like computer vision sort of things. You know, seeing AI, exciting stuff. And I just like to see where this goes. So, I'm going to keep an eye out for this one.
And I think the important thing to note there is that it is rolling out over the next couple of weeks. We do tease, but it is something that we just may not have access to yet. But apparently over the next couple of weeks, we should. So if anybody has it yet and you are using it, please let us know. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. We'd love to hear your experiences with Google Lens because, again, we can't experience it. Now, moving on to a new feature from Amazon, Sean. I don't know that this is quite available yet in the UK. They have started to slowly push this out as they do with everything. But Amazon has announced for the Amazon Echo a follow-up mode where you can have a little bit more of a free conversation with your Echo device. So tell us a little bit more about that, Sean.
Yeah, I think this sounds like a fantastic feature. Sadly, I haven't been able to try it out because it's not here in the UK yet. So frustrating. But okay, so how this works, it's called the follow-on feature. And if you've ever used a smart speaker before and you've had to ask it a series of questions or give it a series of commands, you know, it can be annoying because you've always got to say that wake word. For example, you might say, Lady A, play whatever tune. Lady A, volume up. Lady A, stop. You know, you've always got to say that wake word before each command. Well, what the follow-on feature does is that once it's turned on, it will wait 5 seconds after it's answered you for you to ask another question without saying the wake word. So you could say, Lady A, play this song, and then say, volume up, without the wake word. So that was a terrible explanation, but you get the idea. It just, it makes it much more conversational. And it doesn't sound like much, just taking out that wake word. But saying that wake word every time, it can get frustrating or irritating, I suppose the word is. But as I said, not currently available in the UK, but hopefully won't be far away. If you wanted to enable it, you need to go into your Lady A app, go to the menu, then go to settings, and you need to turn it on each device. So you've got a list of every Amazon smart speaker you've got. Go into that and you should see follow on and turn that on because it is off by default. So yeah, fantastic feature. I can't wait to try it out.
Definitely. As soon as I saw them announce this, I went in to check mine, of course, right away, and it was there, thankfully, and I turned it on and it does work really well, just like you explained it. If you ask your Echo device a question, if you want to follow up with something else, it doesn't even have to be related to the question that you asked first.
No.
You could just ask a completely different question, or if you want to be ultra polite to your device, you could say thank you and she will say you're welcome. but anything that you want to follow up with, it does allow that extra 5 seconds once the device has stopped talking to ask something else. If you want to move on to a different topic or ask something else completely different or random, you can. And I really like it because the free flow back and forth is so much easier than having to say that wake word every single time. And it does also allow that if you do play something by accident or it does trigger something by accident, which happens a lot, and then you're yelling at your Echo device to stop, you know, it's giving you that extra 5 seconds to say, stop. And it does. So if for nothing else, it was worth that by itself.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to look out for this one.
Sean, we don't have a whole lot of time left, so let's see if we can get one more news story in here. Apple made a big announcement, in addition to all the announcements they made about their upcoming conferences, that they've recently bought the app Texture. Now, for anybody who doesn't know, Texture is a fantastic app. A lot of people compare it to Netflix for magazines and newspapers. So if you have Vision, it does have interactive videos, photos, just like if you were flipping through an actual magazine on your iPad or iPhone. But then all the articles that you would come to expect from those magazines, a lot of major national and international magazines are included. It has a monthly fee, just like Netflix. And Apple has bought them, and they're talking about either having it as its own, you know, standalone as it is now, maybe even incorporating it into the Apple News app. I think this is a really big deal, especially if Apple maintains its accessibility that it always does with their own apps and makes this more accessible for us. What do you think about this, Sean?
No, that's the major point for me. This is exciting because of Apple's reputation with accessibility. This could be really good. We've talked about the Amazon Fire tablets in the past a lot, and what I really liked about them was the newsstand feature. Gave me access to lots of magazines and newspapers. It was nice to have that again. I haven't had that in years. So if Apple can do the same sort of thing, and as you said, and as I said, with their accessibility, I think this could be really good.
Yeah, this is something I'm really looking forward to. I've suggested Texture to a lot of people that I know that are sighted because it's not really all that accessible if you're blind or visually impaired using VoiceOver. But if Apple can incorporate this in somehow, some way, either in Apple News or on their own, and if nothing else, just make the articles accessible and readable for us with VoiceOver, that would just be amazing. I mean, Apple News is pretty nice as it is. It's searchable and there's a lot of great things in there. But adding the content that Texture offers, the different magazines, like you said, it's very comparable to the newsstand feature on the Amazon tablets. And if they can make it at least as nice as what Amazon has done, this is going to be a big deal. I think this is definitely something to watch.
Absolutely. I mean, it just seems that we're getting access to more and more of this. What's the word I'm looking for? Content, I suppose. You know, we've got so much access to audiobooks, and now with ebooks and magazines, newspapers, it's just so nice to have. And you do miss it. Like I said, I haven't read a magazine or even thought about reading magazines in so long since my vision went down to such a level where I couldn't read print anymore. And it's just nice to have that option back again. And this looks like a really good way to do it. Subscription service is always a little bit, it's another thing to subscribe to. You know, you have a lot of monthly subscriptions now, but I don't know, it depends on the amount of content they have and how accessible it is. But I've got high hopes for this one.
Well, as always seems to happen, we've run out of time once again, Sean. We always talk about needing that extra hour to get everything in. There's always so much technology news that we can talk about, but sorry to say, we are out of time. So just want to say, if anybody has any questions or comments, again, email us at techtalk@rnab.org.uk. Sean, thank you so much for joining me and holding my hand through this process of hosting for the first time.
Thank you, Tim. No, you were fantastic. It was a bit like when you used to get a supply teacher at school, you know? I felt like I could muck around a little bit more. So you were very good. Strange accent and all. I liked it. Well done.
I appreciate that, Sean. Thank you so much. And if I could, just a quick plug, please also visit lifeafterblindness.com. I would greatly appreciate it. All right, that's it for this week's Tech Talk. I did. I got it in there. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Tune in again next time.